Hi everyone, I am really excited to have Jenna Sword here with us for this interview. Jenna Sword, if you don't know her, she's a brand and design expert and course creation circus master. Her biggest passion in life is helping entrepreneurs find their confidence through developing design, branding, and course creation skills. Jenna started doing graphic design professionally at the age of 16 with her first licensed t-shirt business that produced t-shirts for all clubs and activities in her high school. After winning an international design award, she was invited to work as graphic developer for Nike, where she was in charge of t-shirt designs that including LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and more. She is the founder of YouCanBrand.com, where she teaches hundreds of small business owners how to design their very own brand and website and courses in a very short period of time. So welcome, Jenna, and thank you so much.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Natalie. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I've been looking forward to this interview because I'm dying to know a bit about the story on how you transitioned from working in a corporate world to a job that seemed like a dream job. To a lot of people, to just transitioning to say, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. So maybe we can start here. How did you make the switch from corporate to entrepreneurship and why?
So just like as you had mentioned, I started my first business in high school, and I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My mom's an entrepreneur, my dad's an entrepreneur, grandparents on both sides are entrepreneurs. Ooh. So I actually don't know what it's like to have a real job, really. In my attempt to actually do that, that's when I got, you know, the funnest job ever at Nike. And I still couldn't do it because I'm just not a person who can handle a 9-to-5 job. Like, even though they were super flexible, you could come in late, like, you know, all the things. I think there's something about, you know, a business owning your time and you not, like, I couldn't up or something. And that sort of freedom and flexibility with entrepreneurship is the one reason why I'm an entrepreneur. I mean, I don't want to have a glass ceiling over my head. I don't want anybody telling me how much money I can make. The only thing that keeps me motivated, I don't care if I make $1 or $1 million, I know that like my effort and time and all of that is dependent on me. And so that's what keeps me super motivated to do it. You know, the one other job that I had that I actually really liked and it actually really helped me with what I'm doing right now is I did end up getting hired at the University of Oregon to be a professor for 4 years. And I was actually doing that at the same time I was working at Nike. And the whole entire time I was at Nike, I was really thinking about how everything I was learning in the biggest brand in the world would apply to my business. So that is the one time I took it was really a plot. Both working at the University of Oregon and working for Nike was all a plot to help me with the business I've created today. So it was time well spent.
Okay, so you basically knew all along in your head that this was just going to be. So how did you figure out what you wanted to do? Did you go straight into branding? I mean, I know you've branded some websites and things like that. I don't know if you still do that. But how did you transition to that and how did you make the jump, basically?
Well, so it's funny that you're asking me this because I actually just did a Facebook Live about this exact topic yesterday because it was a very synchronous question to ask.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. Well, I kind of started to see it. You're on the beach, but I was doing something else. I couldn't put the sound. So I'm like, I should have listened because I knew.
It's okay. It's a great, it's an interesting transition. So I think what happened is that, you know, since I started being an entrepreneur at such a young age, you know, I had little jobs throughout high school that were like working at Baskin Robbins or working at a photo studio and working at a car dealership. And I just realized that, like, you know, it just felt like jail to me. And I knew that when I started that t-shirt business in high school and I made way more money than I ever could at even a month of me working, you know, in a regular job, I was like, why isn't everybody doing this? You know? So the entrepreneurial blood was in me at a very young age. I mean, I think even earlier than that, I started like my first little business when I was like in the third grade. You know, I was like the kid who always had like lemonade stands and I was like, you know, slinging little heart pins on Valentine's Day on the playground. Like, so there's a little bit of hustler inside of me. So that definitely helps. But I think that in addition to that, you know, the transition going from one to the next, like right after college, I did work for a brief period of time in a call center. And I was working at, for an online university, making hundreds of phone calls a day. And I was in a cubicle. And I just remember going like, I will die if I do this. And I started like crying every day after work going, is this what life is? Is this all it is to offer? Even though I had been an entrepreneur my whole life, there was something that happened where I felt like I have this degree. I need to go into the workforce to use it. And so, you know, I did that. It wasn't until I got my master's in business that I was getting the same time I was working at this call center that my combination of understanding, business combined with design allowed to give me the confidence and competence to be able to start the business. So I think that's really the important thing here is like, how can you get enough confidence and competence and prove to yourself before you quit your job if you can actually make money with your side hustle. And that's exactly what happened. I started making money with the side hustle and then I felt confident enough to leave the job. So I think that hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, it does. I mean, definitely a lot of it is in here, right? It's in our head and, you know, we are our own, you know, worst enemies. If we don't believe in ourselves, you know, why should people believe in us, right? So I think that's the first thing is to have the confidence that have a clear goal and know why we want to do it. For you, it was really clear. Yeah. It's the freedom, work on your own terms, where you want, when you want, with who you want, right?
Well, and I think, you know, it takes about 1,000 hours or more to become an expert. And I think that, you know, taking on freelance graphic design clients, that was something that felt scary, but I could easily take one and then get comfortable with that and then take two and then kind of build from there. And it wasn't until I had like a full thriving design practice that the new problem I had to deal with was the fact that I didn't want to trade dollars for hours. So there also is a transition, even when you're going from the 9-to-5 world into the entrepreneurial world, that like maybe you're a coach and you're taking on a couple of side clients while you have a job, and then you start making really good money and you're like, ooh, I can quit my job now, and you start taking a full load of clients. And you can also realize that there's only so many hours in the day, so that also puts a ceiling on your head. And for me, I had this epiphany, you know, I wanted to become an expert. And so before I really knew that I was going to start a school and do this whole online course thing, I knew teaching at the university level would make me a better designer because I was going to have to be constantly on trend with whatever was happening. And so my original intention was like, how do I become the best designer I can possibly be? And maybe that's something that you can relate with. You might be thinking to yourself, you know, I'm really interested in health and wellness. Maybe I will go take on some clients and maybe I'll go teach a university class to see if I can become like sort of an expert in this field. So it gives you an excuse to study and all these things. And then you can actually, you know, once you get enough confidence from everything you know, then you can really start to think about how can I turn this into an empire? How do I become like a real influencer in this industry? Does that make sense? I hope.
It totally makes sense, actually. Yeah. It's all kind of like baby steps, and I see you repeating confidence and confidence over and over. And I think that's really the key, because I mean, running a business is a marathon. It's baby steps, and sometimes we don't know where it leads us. We just have to take the first step and see how it feels, right? I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that, right? You've maybe done your first course and you're like, well, is this really what I want to do? And maybe this is not what you want to do, and you go in and you do something else. So I think that we all get to that level where we start working one-on-one, we get this expertise, we build our confidence, and then we hit the ceiling in revenue, ceiling in time, and we feel like we can't keep upping our prices, right? Because it just doesn't feel right anymore. Right. So then what do you do?
Yeah. Right. Well, and so, and that's where like finding something like creating an online course can be so helpful for you know, really being able to expand those dollars per hours. And, you know, I'm coming into the next phase of my business where I'm hitting another ceiling, because part of what I do currently in my courses is I give really, 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 really high value feedback on every single person's assignment. So if you can imagine, you start to cap out at a certain amount of people when it's just you. And I'm so into integrity that I won't hire out for that, because I feel like if somebody, you know, takes my course, they should be getting my input.
Sure.
And so for my design course, I end up doing creative direction. For my courses about courses, I end up really giving a lot of consulting on like how to create a profitable course and whatnot. So I think that, like, you know, a lot of it's experience. A lot of it is when you hit that ceiling, how do you either raise your prices or add additional services? And so something that I'm working on right now that's really helping with creating additional revenues is I had the privilege of being able to take my mom to Europe this summer and on an all expenses paid trip. And I was feeling like a little bit guilty about it, because I knew I had this launch coming up, and I'm like, I kind of want to use the funds for Facebook ads. And I promised my mom I'm going to take her on this trip. And, you know, lo and behold, what ended up happening was that my financial advisor said, well, why don't you treat this like a business trip? Why don't you like put out to your Facebook audience that you're taking VIP days? And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I don't know why I didn't think to do that. So I did. And I, within 24 hours, had booked a $10,000 two back-to-back days. $10,000 total in VIP days from one Facebook post. And I was just so shocked at how easy it was to do that. It didn't require a sales conversation. It just required putting together an offer that people want and, you know, having enough expertise to really be able to offer that and have people see your value in it. And so these are some of like the life-changing things that happen as you grow with your business. And you're totally right. It is like a marathon. It doesn't happen in the first year like this. It's like, you know, I'm 3 years into the business. The first 2 years were six-figure years, and the third year was a year that I made $350,000. And that didn't come without me reinvesting like 90% of the money in back into the business. And it wasn't that I needed to. It was that I wanted to. I'm really amped on becoming the best expert I can be. So a lot of that requires reinvesting in people who know more than I do. So that would be like another secret, is, you know, turning that side hustle into like your ability to become the expert that you need to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I love this idea of VIP, you know, VIP day where people sign up. But I think there is something that we need to know, is that in order for this to work, you just don't put an offer, you post a Facebook post and people buy, because you have built this audience and this trust with people by your consistency and the quality of, you know, the free content that you provide. So it's the fruits of some work that has been done over the last, you know, 3 years that allowed you to be able to put this offer. So, you know, it's a lot of constant, you know, work. And that's the reward right now, is that you are able to do these kind of offers.
Yeah, I think that the secret really is, and it looks like you froze, Nelly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, for some reason you're... Your video froze
okay.
For a second. I don't know if I'm frozen on that side.
Okay. No, you're good.
So one of the things that I discovered through this, and this was like a little counterintuitive for me, is that I, when I was producing free content originally, I was always producing just anything that I felt people would need. And there were two pinnacle things that happened that really helped with kind of, changing the process to make it more appetizing for people to sign up on my list and sign up for my courses. And the first one was that I surveyed people who were suffering from the problem that my course would solve. So the original one was like, you know, if you are if you're an entrepreneur and you need a website and you've hired a designer before, and you didn't get what you wanted from that designer, I would like to interview you. So I would do qualitative, you know, Skype or Zoom meetings, asking them questions about what they were struggling with hiring a designer. And then I would turn around and use that information in the sales language and, you know, in the freebies. And the second thing I would do was that once I had a list, I would do a regular SurveyMonkey survey with them to learn more about who they are, like how many people in my audience were women, how many people were still working a 9-to-5 job, How many people had, you know, where were they at with design? Had they tried to do design by themselves? Had they hired a designer? And I got lots of quantitative and qualitative answers about what they were looking for. And what surprised me about doing this was that there was all of this repetitive language that kept coming out in these surveys that would be words I would never use. Like, I would never instantly know that people were looking for an aerial perspective of what to do with their brand. But that word aerial perspective showed up 24 times, you know? And then it was like, oh, well, then I'm going to use the term aerial perspective in my lead magnet. And so I think that the trick here is that a lot of new entrepreneurs, when they're not exactly an influencer or an expert yet, will make vast general assumptions of what people want. And they will do something called guessing. And my whole motto on this is that guessing is really expensive.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So really the idea, and I know you're big on surveys because you also talk about it in your free courses, in your free content. And I think that is the best way to basically find out what people want. So listen to people and then provide a solution to their problem. So do you have any tips? Do you have any tips on how to choose that first freebie that is really going to attract people? Do we need, like, when somebody gets started with a business, do we need that whole branding? Your brand is really strong, right? But does everybody needs that strong brand when they get started to attract these people?
Mm-hmm. You know, I work with a lot of people who don't even have a website up. And, you know, one way to get around that is, one, you know, either creating a course idea. So like starting off with a survey, for example, let's say that you're a health and wellness coach or you are, well, actually tell me, Natalie, a little bit about who's generally in your audience. Like, what kinds of people are they, coaches or...
We have a lot of coaches, health coaches, okay. Business coaches.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So let's say that we'll give the example of the business coach and mm-hmm. you primarily want to work with moms, like maybe mompreneurs, and you realize that the thing that you think that mompreneurs mostly struggle with is maybe time, right? So they have a baby there or they have kids and their biggest complaint is not enough time. And so let's say like the first business coach decides to develop an entire product off of time for mompreneurs, but they don't really like interview them. And then actually through doing surveys, they find out that it's not just time, that it's also just energy that is actually the bigger issue. Maybe it's lack of sleep. Maybe it's like, you know, they're giving all their first time mom and all their energy is going to their kid, like whatever that is. And maybe there's like some little things that come out about that. Kind of pinpointing down through a survey before you have a website or anything can really start to help you kind of identify, you know, who it is that you want to work with. You can start developing an email list before you even have a website just through the survey. So at the end of the survey, you can say something like, you know, I'm developing a course on how to help mompreneurs with time and energy, or, you know, anything like helping mompreneurs have a more profitable business because you don't have those answers from the survey yet. And you can say, I'd like to give you a $50 certificate for my course. You're going to need to leave your email address at the survey below. And so what we've seen from people doing this and promoting this in Facebook groups and meetup groups and LinkedIn groups is that within a very short period of time, people are getting email lists of like over 100 people. And that's before they even have a website or anything. They've just chosen to create a little graphic to go with the survey. And like they're already building their email list before they have that. Now, step two to that is you know, you actually start to develop what the course is actually going to be. And you can create a beta test. And the beta test can be with testers that actually, like, you don't even have the course developed yet. You just create a really easy sort of survey type of page. It could even also be SurveyMonkey or another survey page that is basically asking them to apply to be a beta tester. And so, again, you don't need a website for this, but you are collecting people who are interested in your topic. And then all you have to do to actually like launch is just create the first module of your course for these beta testers. And you don't accept all of them. You know, you take anywhere from 20 to 100, preferably 100, so that you can kind of stress test your systems and everything. And then you can actually facilitate the course. Now, I use something called Teachable. It's the thing that I teach. And you kind of go through launching with these free beta testers to kind of go through and figure out, one, do you like teaching this topic? Two, can you use these beta testers as like your guinea pigs to figure out what to do? And because they haven't paid you any money, one, they're not going to be resentful if the course is horrible. Two, you're going to be able to create the course with them. So that's a beautiful thing, because then you're producing what people actually want instead of something that you're guessing on. And then at the end of all of this, you can actually pitch to those beta testers. You treat those beta testers like they're gold, like your number one paying customers. And at the end of it, you can say, hey, if you love this course, if you experience transformation, I have a slew of other courses I'm going to be developing over the next year or two. And you can come and become a beta tester for life with me for $1,000. So what we've seen people have by doing this is that with a list of 100 to 400 people, they're having $10,000 to $40,000 first-time launches, and their course has been developed with actual students that have helped them create it. And so that is a perfect example of there's no website needed for this. You know, like there's no brand photography. You're actually test marketing your product with beta testers before you come to market. And then with that seed money that you get in from your beta test, you can then turn around and hire a designer if you want to, or you can take my course on design and learn how to do the design part of it. But I think that getting your hands wet with your customers first can actually help you develop a better brand.
I love this. And you know, like as someone who builds websites and membership sites, you know, sometimes I tell people, you know, like what you need is not a pretty membership, because pretty memberships, pretty websites don't sell, right? If nobody's going to visit your site, right, there is no point. What you really need is to start getting out there and start talking to people. So surveys and things like that. And I know that this is something that's difficult to do for most people. And that's why they kind of hide behind the technical stuff and say, I need a website.
Yeah. No, you don't. Oh, sure. Sure. I have a student right now who had a website that was not attractive. Like it was like, you know, something that people actually never went to, really. She only had 100 people on her list. But what she did have was she had taken Jeff Walker's product launch formula, and she created a 3-video series. So that was the thing she focused her time on instead of her website. And her husband started doing Facebook Lives to a Facebook page that they were creating ads to go towards. So they, I think they built up, you know, quite a few likes. Her husband was starting to become a little bit well known in the industry for what they were doing. It was a company on it was like a horse based
okay
a horse based company. So basically the you know, it was very, very interesting. But basically she ended up having like $110,000 launch with a list of less than 100 actual people on her list, because all of the list building actually happened through Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And so that was really interesting to kind of see how, you know, you can, if you have a really great strategy for getting people to be interested in whatever your topic is, and you follow a formula from a course that you take, like the product launch formula or something, that's going to take them through priming them and, you know, turning them into a really awesome prospective student, that you can have a huge launch without a website at all. You know, like, you know, she found a way to like turn these Facebook Lives into content that was going to get them into a funnel that was set up on ClickFunnels. And so the only pages that they had designed were video landing pages. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to do this without getting caught up in the website thing. In fact, you know, the website is more of like a long-term game for developing a, you know, developing a full on, like authority figure sort of thing in the industry, but also like a way to consistently be getting, you know, emails through your freebies on your site, way more than like having products for sale on the site. Like if you go to my site, there's very, very, very few products that are even for sale.
Yeah. I love this because, and I've done the product launch formula. I was in a PLF Live in 2013. I was at the event, and that's exactly what it teaches, is that you can totally do a seed launch. You don't have a list, you don't have, you know, a website, but you can have, you know, video pages, and you can start teaching basically your, what you know to these people, right? And then you can have a successful launch just, you know, without a list, basically.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it really comes back down to, in her instance, they had funds to invest a lot of money in Facebook ads.
Yes.
So I mean, like, they spent a great amount of money in Facebook ads. So that's like the other thing is like, can you get yourself, you know, converting at a really low rate, like a dollar, or I think they were getting like 50 cent leads or something, because they're in a very niche industry. And that's going to vary per industry, yes. You know, like, you know, also to add to this, you know, her husband is really an expert in the field that they were teaching in. So all this stuff is really helpful for creating credibility. But I think it is really important to note that it wasn't, that it was like, you know, not something that was based on them having the perfect brand. She hasn't even launched her website until now. And that's like a year after they've been having like a lot of launches.
Yeah. And basically an audience and an answer, you know, a solution to a problem. So I think it really comes down to that. I think people tend to focus on the wrong things, you know, because that's just easier to say, oh, I need a website, you know, that's, you know, I need this, I need that. And really the focus should be on talking to people, because we compare ourselves to people that are like 2-3 years in business, right? They compare themselves to that and they feel like they have to do exactly that, which is not, because there's been a lot of work in the back end to actually get to where they are. The website itself is not doing much, right?
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah.
So I love what you said about, so basically what you've been doing from your one-on-one work is teaching online, right? Which is a great way to scale your business, to reach more people. I like to say to people that it's a great way also for people to get a chance to work with you if they cannot afford you one-on-one. So that's another way for people that really want to expand their reach, you know, building online courses and even membership sites. Is definitely one way that I see a lot of people, a lot of coaches going from one-on-one to group coaching, yeah, to e-course, to membership site and retreats and things like that. So I love that. And
yeah, I was going to say too that it's kind of like the natural progression of things. The technology is getting so much easier than it was, you know, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, even 3 years ago, it was such a struggle because a lot of these products that exist now didn't exist then. And if they did exist, they were usually on WordPress and they were really complicated. And, you know, we're just at the greatest time in technological history, because all of these amazing things have been developed to make this so much easier. It also means that, you know, a lot more people are coming into the industry, but there's still so much opportunity because, you know, walk down the street sometime and ask a random person if they've ever taken an online course before. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to say no, you know? And so it hasn't fully become mainstream yet. We're starting to see a lot more like celebrities doing courses, like Oprah's got masterclasses. There is a new company called Masterclass that's interviewing people like Christina Aguilera to teach people how to sing and, you know, all these things. But what it's interesting about that is that as courses become more commonplace, what we've seen happen is that if you buy one course, you're likely to buy multiple. And I've even seen this happen in my own business where, you know, somebody who is considered a competitor, I would see somebody in my audience go buy their program and then I'd be like, oh, they didn't buy my program. And then they would come buy my program too. So there's actually like not only enough room for everybody, you do have to be a little bit careful with cross promoting too much with people who offer things that are like too similar to what you do, because there can be some cannibalizing of sales, but we can also think that that cross promotion can also lead to more sales. So we kind of have to kind of weigh, you know, not coming from a scarcity mindset, really believing that there's like enough business for everybody. Super, super, super important.
Yeah.
And making sure that, you know, that you are just putting your best work out there, that when you're doing freebie stuff, that you're actually solving a problem with your free stuff and then opening up the next issue that they need to solve, which can paint the picture of why they need to take your course. I think one of the biggest mistakes I made in the beginning was like giving a whole bunch of amazing information without doing that open hook thing, where I would say, here's some awesome information, and they would go, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
There is some psychology in like not completing the picture, like always painting how, okay, you've had a little win with this. Now, if you want the next phase, here's what's going to happen in the next phases. So it's really good.
Yeah. I love this. I think this is actually the key, because this is really the start of the funnel, is actually hooking people for them to see that you know what you're doing, that you can help them, and then for them to see that your course is the next natural step, right? If they want to get to the next result. And then you don't have to be so salesy, because you're just being here to serve, right? So you took my free stuff, you liked it, you got some type of results, you want more, then join my program. And that that makes it so much easier. Then you don't have to feel salesy. If you did a good job up front, right? Then the sale is smooth.
I think the big thing that my stuff stands out a little bit in the industry compared to some is that a lot of people add in a lot of fluff. They add in a lot of, I'm going to really sell you on this dream, instead of focusing on getting them an actual result. And so one way that you can stand out in the industry is like really focus on getting them a real result. Like, don't just make a silly little handout that they fill out, like, you know, a couple quick questions about the particular topic. You know, if you're a weight loss coach, get them to lose a pound in a couple of days, you know, like by following some sort of philosophy. If you are a business coach, get them to get their first client within a week or something, you know, like those tangible results will catapult your business. The businesses that I see that kind of like focus more on just the dream, I think that starts to get a little bit old, and I don't think results ever get old.
Yeah, exactly. And what you'll notice as well, I mean, you've done a lot of courses. I have done a lot of courses. We've probably done similar courses. I think I have seen you around. Uh-huh. We know a lot of these courses, 90% of the people don't get results, right? Let's be honest. There are a lot of courses where people don't get results because it's not tangible enough. And I think that, like, I like when you said that it's about implementation. Right? It's about people, getting people to take action, getting results, and also putting that unique spin on your course. And that's why there is room for everybody, because we all teach differently.
Yeah.
So people are going to be attracted to you because they like the way you are on your lives, and they love your brand, and they aspire, maybe they are a designer and they aspire to learn from you in that capacity as well, right? So they're going to be attracted by that, by your personality. So there is definitely work for everybody. And the more we are specific about what we teach, the more we're going to get results, and the more we are going to get, results in terms of our sales, but our success also of our students, because students that are happy and get results get you more students, right? So this is my main focus, is success of people, right? Of your students.
Yeah. I think that, you know, that's why to me beta testing is so important, because you can collect those student testimonials. You can prove that your stuff really works. I see so many people out there that really encourage pre-selling, and I think that's such a disservice to the teacher, and it's also a disservice to the students, because they end up undervaluing what the program is going to eventually sell for. They end up, feeling all this pressure to produce something that they've never tested before. I mean, what if you're teaching a course on, this is going to be really loud for a second.
That's okay.
living in the city.
Yeah.
hold on just 1 second.
Sure.
You know, it's like one of those things where I totally just lost my train of thought, too.
That's okay.
About like beta testing and yes. Everything that when people pre-sell, they don't, they end up feeling like they're actually collecting money before they've done the work.
Yes.
And it puts all this unnecessary pressure. And then if they can't deliver, which many times they may crack under pressure, they end up ruining their reputation because they can't get out the product that's tried, true, and tested, or they end up forcing themselves to get out something that doesn't feel quite right. And it can kind of ruin their reputation. So I'm really like against pre-selling. I think that free beta testing is like the best way to go.
Yeah.
And, but from that content perspective, you know, really kind of getting your feet wet with some free content, building your list from that free content, and also kind of treating even the smallest things that you do. Like I'm getting ready right now in the next month to launch a membership site. And I'm really excited about this because I had to sit down and like kind of strategize, how is this not going to cannibalize sales? How is this going to be something that was going to actually encourage sales? And how could it be something that my current students could use it as a way to stay connected to me? So as they're doing a 6 or 12 pay on a course, that they're getting continued access throughout an entire year, even after the course is done. And so coming up with these sorts of plans of like lesser expensive programs that, you know, on the long term, if you have really good attrition rates, can actually equate to like an amazing way to boost, you know, an extra $10,000 to $20,000 a month. Mm-hmm. If you create the right type of offer. And so, you know, having a suite of products where there's a very clear customer journey of like where they enter into your funnel, what are the series of things that they need to go through, is also really important as you grow. And this is like more for a little bit more advanced coach or entrepreneur that might be listening right now, of really thinking about, okay, you've mastered your first signature class. How can you add in a lower end membership product to get more people in? And how can you add in a series of products that eventually get them to grow? And like for me, being in the third year of business now I'm considering, how do I do in-person workshops? How do I do more VIP days? How do I have an upsell from my launches that get people to, you know, butts and chairs for us to like do some stuff in person? I'm even like, I think I'm doing like a first little mastermind thing in a beach house with like 8 people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's going to be something I've never done before, but I've gone to events like that and I really liked the intimacy and the way of really like breaking things down. So just little things like that, having a suite of products that fit a lot of different people where they're in different phases in their journey is always really important. And that's like, you know, kind of next level strategy development stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's also keeping two things in mind is one, what you are willing to do, what you want to do. I mean, some people don't want to do retreats, but some people, you know, would love to do a retreat or a mastermind or even a membership site. Some people, even though like the membership site model is great for recurring revenue, right? Obviously, you're building this community. And it's not that you have to produce so much content, because people don't want more content. They want less content, but they want a community and they want quality and support, right? That's what they're looking for. But it's also not for everybody. Some people don't want to be tied to this kind of thing. So it's really listening to what you want to do and what people want to do, and then come up with an offer, you know, that you feel like comfortable actually offering, that really right. aligns with where you want to go with your business.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The thing I'm super excited about for the membership site that I'm developing right now is I met with Gary Vaynerchuk this last year, and yeah. I also met with Brendan Burchard. I did his live launching workshop that was amazing. And both of these things cost me $10,000, first of all. So they're very, very expensive. The one with Gary was cool because I actually got to meet him, and it was 12 people, and we were sitting in a boardroom learning all about his social media company and developed a strategy. And so for this particular membership, I'm super excited because I found a way to turn social media content into a into like a mini lesson for YouTube that is going to funnel people into a free training. And that free training is becoming content for the membership site. So people who come live can get the content for free. And so I'm training my whole entire list to come to these things live. But then I'm having like one training a month that's for members only. So I'm getting them used to all this great content coming out. And I'm like, okay, well, if you want, you know, any of the replays from this very tech heavy stuff, and or you want this members only thing, you got to come join the membership. And so it turns into this amazing kind of like one piece of content for social media turns into 40 pieces of content for all social media. So you've got Pinterest covered and YouTube covered and Facebook covered all with one piece of content. Your blog posts are written from it. And then I get to create all of these fun, awesome mini courses that are based on trends that I would never want to do a full course for. So I get to be really on trend with this. It develops me as, you know, an authority figure in other areas, but it's also providing variety of content per month that could be attractive to different kinds of people. So, you know, one might be on list building, one might be on design, one might be on course creation, one might be on launching, and no matter what entrepreneur is in my audience, there's going to be at least one of those areas that they're going to need help in. So yes. You know, that's the other thing is like, how can you like try to automate and create one valuable thing that turns into something that works for you? And then I'm only creating 4 pieces of content a month, and those pieces of content expire. So the other part that's cool about that is those individual 4 things I'm going to create are going to turn into mini courses that are available for sale for like $100. And so that's like $400 worth of courses a month for $27 a month. And so I think it turns into this really great value thing because I'm developing this huge suite of mini courses that I can use for what we call tripwires or bonuses for other people's launches or, you know, things that when I start to bucket my audience through using like Ryan Levesque's ask method. I don't know if you guys know about this, but like surveying people and putting them into buckets, that each individual trail could lead to a lead magnet that gets them into a launch for a particular product. So from a big, you know, and again, this is all super advanced stuff as we're talking to those more seasoned entrepreneurs, but this is the next level stuff where I'm going. Took 3 years to get here.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So. But it's really, you know, what I'm hearing, it's also creating this content on purpose and repurposing, right? Repurposing content and not just creating content for the sake of creating content and say, oh, I'm going to do a whole bunch of mini courses, is having a real strategy behind. And I love your strategy, you know, with the membership site, because people could be interested with one thing today, but next month, they don't know what they don't know. So they say, oh, she's just did something about webinars. Gee, I should look at the webinar mini course and maybe. So it's also guiding them and showing them what the trends are and what is possible. Sure. You want to launch? Sure. What do you want to do? You want to do a challenge? You want to do a webinar? You don't want to do a free video series? Right. I'll show you how. I'll show you your options. So it's also that, a membership site. It's not, they don't have to consume everything.
Right. You want to keep it as simple as possible because you don't want whatever's in the membership site to be competing with your products.
Yes.
And so for me, it's really important that it's all the gravy that would just be gravy to the products. And that, like, for example, one of the first videos that I'm doing for the membership site is on how to do, what is it? I'm totally spacing the name of it right now. Snapchat geofilters. Yeah. Okay. So like, if you want to learn how to create geo filters for your business at a conference, this is how you do that. Well, that topic doesn't fit into anything with the exception of maybe my design course, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I could chat geo filters and have that be a bonus for a launch. Or maybe I could take that bonus and have that be something that I offer one of my joint venture partners for their launch. And then, and or maybe there's going to be a blog post that will get people to link to that little product. And so now when people are doing Google searches on how to find, how to do Snapchat geo filters, that they see a little preview lesson and then they see in the blog entry that there's a way to buy a $97 product. And pretty soon now my blog is like a money-making machine on top of everything else that I'm doing. Yeah. So that's kind of my theory. I'm still testing it. We'll see if it works, but I'm pretty sure that based on all this like investment that I've made, I think, creating doing a free version where you can't get the replay unless you come live, you can only see it live, is being of service the way that I need to be of service. It's training people to show up live, which yes. is when you sell finally, yes. then that's like a beautiful thing. And then lastly, creating this suite of things that they're not going to be able to attend every single one that you do every week. So you are creating a certain amount of buzz that they're going to go, oh, I missed that, but I am going to go buy that $97 product because I'm sold that I need exactly what she's teaching. Yeah. So I think that's kind of the next phase of where things are going. And I'm really excited about it.
I mean, that sounds awesome. I love the strategy and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. So that's awesome. Yeah. So let's transition to how people can find you online and where should they start? If they want to start learning from you, where should we
Oh yeah. So you
them?
Guys can go to youcanbrand.com. I've got lots of free courses on there on everything from like, there's a free course on how to create a signature logo. There's a free course on branding basics. There is a roadmap on everything that you need from A to Z on how to create and launch your business. There's also a course section that teaches you all about, you know, a course launch checklist to get you started there. And, you know, I only open up my programs a couple times a year. And I know that around the time that you guys are seeing this, the next program that's opening is Launch Your Brand, which is my design program. Really awesome. Create a logo, business card, and website in 45 days. So that's like the next thing that's coming up, and my membership site. But aside from that, there's tons of free stuff to go check out, and it'll be really fun to have you as a part of my community.
Yeah, well, I will definitely put the link below the interview okay. so Thank that people you. Can sign up, check you out. And I will put, if by the time the video airs, I will put a link to your launch. If you have yeah. Some pre-launch content and stuff like that, then we will definitely put that under the video. And so that people can start to learn from you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jenna. Thank you for doing this.